Mark chapter 15 verses 16 through 20. The soldiers took him away into the palace, that is the praetorium, and they called together the whole Roman cohort. They dressed him up in purple, and after twisting a crown of thorns, they put it on him. And they began to acclaim him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" They kept beating his head with a reed and spitting on him and kneeling and bowing before him. After they had mocked him, they took the purple robe off him and put his own garments on him, and they led him out to crucify him.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, members of 2,500 branch churches all over the world, including the United States, Canada, Honduras, Peru, Argentina, Germany, France, Russia, Belgium, Netherlands, and African countries including Kenya, Uganda, and Congo, and in China, Japan, Pakistan, Indonesia, Philippines, Taiwan, India, Mongolia, Egypt, and Korean branch churches and local sanctuary members, those who are attending the service on the internet all over the world, children of Sunday school, and viewing audiences, this is the 12th session of the Message of the Cross, testifying to the providence of the cross. Jesus came down to the earth to save us sinners. To save sinners, he had to take the penalty of death that sinners should have received. That's why Jesus suffered many pains and finally was crucified. The suffering of Jesus has brought us the forgiveness of our sins, and it has set us free from the curse of sin and let us live in the blessings of God. By the way, we should not simply have the idea that Jesus forgave us of our sins, but understand in detail how He forgave us. Only then will we be able to love Jesus from our heart and live a more powerful life in faith, knowing how He took all the sufferings for us. In the previous session, we looked into the providence of Jesus being laid in a manger, living a poor life, and shedding His blood by the flogging. I will now preach about the providence in Jesus wearing the crown of thorns. I hope you realize from the depths of your heart the love of the Lord who wore the crown of thorns for us. I pray in the name of the Lord that you will run towards the gate of heaven more powerfully within that love. Dear brothers and sisters, Jesus is the Son of God, the King of kings, and the Lord of lords. He truly deserves a glorious crown. However, the crown Jesus wore was not a glorious crown made of gold and jewels, but of sharp thorns. Mark chapter 15, verses 16 to 18 say, "The soldiers led Jesus away into the palace, that is the praetorium, and called together the whole company of soldiers. They put a purple robe on him, then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on him. And they began to call out to him, 'Hail, King of the Jews!' Brambles in Israel have long and strong thorns. Roman soldiers made a crown from branches with those thorns that was sized smaller than that of a man's head and pressed it onto Jesus' head. Those long and terrible thorns pierced through the skin of his head, and it brought excruciating pain to the bones of his head. And soon his face was covered with blood. Why then did God let his beloved only son Jesus wear such a thorny crown? That was because he intended to forgive us of the sins committed through man's thoughts. Men think untruths that are against truth and have evil feelings because there are untruths within their hearts. they hate, envy, are jealous of, judge and condemn others. They covet others' possessions, have the desires of adultery, and pretend to honor others, but despise and have contempt for others in their hearts. Because they have those sins in their thoughts and hearts, they commit those sins outwardly too. No matter what evil thought or desire they have in this world, it is not considered as sins unless it is committed in deeds. But when somebody desires to sin in his thought and heart, the Bible condemns him. Matthew chapter 5, verse 28 says, "But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart." And in 1 John chapter 3, verse 15 says, "Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life in him." Do you know this verse saying that you have no eternal life in you? I always told you this. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer. Even though you do not kill somebody, only if you have hatred in your heart against a brother, you are murdering that brother. You know that no murderer has eternal life in him. Anyone who hates his brother has no eternal life in him. So, after all, if you do not cast off that evil, you cannot enter into heavenly kingdom. That is why God is telling us to love even our enemies. How evil it is if you hate your brother, who is not even your enemy. That is why the Bible, both in Old and New Testament, is saying that that kind of person does not have eternal life in him. If somebody hates another person, though he has not murdered, he will be deemed to have committed the same sin as a murderer in the sight of God, who sees the inner heart of each one of us. The reason that Jesus wore a crown of thorns and shed his blood was to forgive us of even the sins we commit in our thoughts. Anyone who believes this fact and is forgiven should purify his thoughts and heart. Dear brothers and sisters, you should understand what the thought is not to commit sins with our thoughts. In our brain there is a memory system through which we can store and utilize knowledge. When we have stored what we have seen, heard, and learned through our senses into the memory system, that which is stored is called knowledge. When the stored knowledge is reproduced, what is reproduced is called thought. When people injure their head in a traffic accident or something, some of them lose their memory. They cannot remember anything because their memory system is damaged. So when the stored knowledge is reproduced, what is reproduced is called thought. But the knowledge stored in each individual's brain since his birth is different. There are more than 6 billion people on the earth, but nobody has the same level of knowledge. That's because each one's conditions and education are different, and each one inputs things along with different feelings, even though he is taught by the same person under the same situation. Also, according to what kind of heart they have in their nature, they accept things with different feelings. Because each one has different knowledge, his standard of value and the standard of discerning good and evil are different. The content of the knowledge each one reproduces in the same situation is also different. Some people might say that something is bad and abominable, but some others may say it is good and beautiful. What is deemed to be polite in one country may be condemned as rude in another country. Likewise, each individual's thought is different, and most of thoughts that the people of the world have are against the truth. When Adam lived in the Garden of Eden, He had only the knowledge of truth. It was because God taught him only truths. Adam's thought was only about truths. But since he sinned, the knowledge of the truth leaked from his heart, and the knowledge of untruths replaced the truth of his heart. The knowledge of truth, such as love, service, and understanding, was replaced by the knowledge of the untruths, such as hatred, greed, and desire for gain. Satan controls the knowledge of untruths and urges us to think against the will of God. Let me give you an illustration. Suppose one of your colleagues did a good job and was praised before many people. In that situation, Satan may control untruths within you and urge you to think evil things. Then you may complain, thinking, "This job was not done only by that man, but now he alone is praised. Or why is only he praised, although I also helped to do that job?" If he has only the knowledge of truth in his mind, he will not think that. Satan cannot control him, but he will rejoice with him, saying, "I am happy because he is praised. Now I will also be diligent like him." So love delights with the truth and stays with the truth. When someone's actions disagree with what you want, if you follow the thought of untruth, you may pass judgment that they are rude and selfish. You may have ill feelings and have a mindset against meeting him or her. You may go through great pains to be patient despite your fierce hot temper. On the other hand, if you have the knowledge of truth, when you see the person act with evil, you will not judge or have ill feelings, but try to understand why he did that and truly understand him. If you go into goodness with truth, you will not even have to try to understand, but you will just be joyful and thankful. You will always try to see and interpret it in a good way. Dear brothers and sisters, if a man had stored only the knowledge of truth into himself, then he is able to think only in truth. But in fact, because everybody stores up the knowledge of untruths since birth, every thought reproduced from his heart is untruth. That's why you should change your knowledge into the one belonging to truth after you believe in God. Then your thought will change into the one of truth. Let me give you an example. If you make some food with bad ingredients, that food will surely be bad. That's why you must replace those bad ingredients with fresh ones if you want to make good food. In the same way, when you change the knowledge stored in your mind into truth, your thought will change into truth. You should diligently listen to the Word of God and make it your spiritual food. You should worship God in spirit and in truth and receive the Word with amen and yes, and change yourself by it. If you do it continually, you can go into spirit very quickly. Some people say amen when the Word of God agrees with their own thought, but they deny it, saying no, it's not, when it disagrees with them. Even though the Word says you will be lifted if you serve and lower yourself, they think it is not easy to be great, even with many efforts to elevate themselves, and refuse to lower themselves and serve. If the Word teaches them to turn their left cheek when somebody strikes their right one, and to give him their cloak, if he wants their tunic, they say they cannot live in this world that way. They think they always face loss, right? The Almighty God absolutely elevates a person who serves and blesses a person who obeys the Word. But man does not believe the Word, but considers what is against the will of God, because the Word disagrees with his own knowledge and experiences. I have seen in many cases that those who know the Word of God and the truth judge others with the word of God they know. I said in my sermon that the Lord is standing on the right hand of God, which was said by Stephen. It was right after the opening of our church, and there were not many members. But somebody said that I did not know the word of God correctly. The Lord is sitting on the right hand of God, but I was saying that the Lord was standing, so I was wrong. So you should know the Bible very correctly with the matching verses. But only with one thing that he heard, he thought only what he had heard before was right, but the other was incorrect. So can you receive grace thinking like that? You would think, oh, the preacher is making a mistake. I think he spent time thinking of that for the whole sermon. There are many cases like this. Here, the thought that is against the will of God is called fleshly thought. It is Satan who makes man have fleshly thought. The Bible shows us that Peter was rebuked by Jesus because he followed his fleshly thought. When Jesus said he would be crucified according to the will of God in the future, Peter said, "Never, Lord, this shall never happen to you." Peter did not say it with a wicked purpose. Peter said it because he felt sorry and wished Jesus would not be killed. When people hear it, they may consider it as righteous and good. It was the same with King Saul. God told him to kill everything, but he captured good things. Now he gave excuses. "I brought these things to offer sacrifices to God." How good it sounds if you hear it with fleshly thoughts. But in God's sight, he was an evil, disobedient man. Peter said that with his consideration for the Lord, but what did the Lord say? He did not say, "I know you did it because you love me," but instead rebuked him, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of man. These are things of man, not things of God. In fleshly sense, it could be commanded, but in spirit, it was something that had to be rebuked." If you said something to me with good intention, and if I, like the Lord, rebuke you harshly, many of you will become sulky. You will turn around and say, "I said it with a love for senior pastor, but how can he rebuke me like that?" That kind of person cannot receive the word. He does not have the vessel to receive rebukes, being far off from going into spirit. Please do not be one of these. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. Jesus was not even nice in rebuking Peter. He did not explain kindly, saying, "Peter, this is fleshly thoughts, and that is spiritual thought, and you are wrong in this sense. Get behind me, Satan." He did not mean Peter is Satan, but wanted to awaken Peter that Satan controls our fleshly thoughts so that we'll think against the will of God. Fleshly people regard fleshly thoughts as wise and good. However, Romans chapter 8, verse 7 says, "Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so." The mind set on the flesh, namely, fleshly thought, is hostile to God, and so it has nothing to do with God. No matter how wise and good the fleshly thought seems to fleshly people, when you do your duties following fleshly thought, it has no relationship to God. Only when you demolish every kind of fleshly thought will you be able to possess spiritual faith by which you can create something out of nothing. When you have removed your fleshly thought, you can understand the will and heart of God and please God and experience works of God. The power of God transcends human knowledge and thought, and His wisdom and understanding cannot be measured by man. If we do not follow fleshly thought but obey the will of God, we can experience the immeasurable power of God all the time. Dear viewing audiences, since I met God, I have never doubted the word of God with fleshly thoughts. For the 7 years of my illness, no doctor could heal me, but God healed me instantly. I neither took medicine nor received any operation. But when I went to a church and knelt down, I was immediately healed of all my diseases. Because I experienced the almightiness of God myself, I believed all the words of the Bible. When the Bible told me that Jesus brought the dead back to life and healed the sick, I believed as it said. The sun and moon stopped moving by Joshua's prayer. Moses parted the Red Sea. Bitter water became sweet. I believed all of them. The 10 plagues, people wishing for Peter's shadow to fall on them, healing diseases and driving away evil spirits with just by placing handkerchief. And all the things that you cannot believe with fleshly thoughts, I believed all of them. Since I was a new believer, from the beginning, I have believed all the 66 books of the Bible as it is and never doubted. How thankful I am for this, because I believed everything. How many dying people we are saving today? Because I believed every word of the Bible, I could keep all the commands of God recorded in the Bible. Because I believed in the Almighty God, I relied only on God through prayers in any circumstances. Each time, God performed miraculous works transcending human ability and understanding. At Manmin Jungang Church, there are many brothers and sisters who have experienced powerful works of God because they did not follow fleshly thoughts but depended on God. In 1997, a brother in Christ heard that his sister was admitted to a hospital because she drank an agricultural chemical. At that time, she did not believe in God and drank it out of a fit of rage. That chemical is so poisonous that if anybody drinks the slightest amount of it, it has a 100% mortality rate. It is said to have no antidote. Her mouth, esophagus, and the stomach were severely damaged, and her lungs, liver, and kidneys were decaying. Although she was in hospital, doctors had no medical treatment but only diagnosis that she would survive 15 days at the most. Her brother visited her as she waited for death in the midst of severe pains, and he preached the gospel. He testified to Jesus Christ and the Almighty God, and he told her about a number of God's powerful works that had taken place at Manmin Church. At last, she opened her heart, and then she left the hospital in patient's clothing and came to me from the distant province. At that time, I went to the establishment anniversary service of Ulsan Manmin Church. They were living in Gwangju, and they came all the way from there in patient's clothing. After I finished the sermon, because there are too many people, it was difficult for me to maneuver through. I barely managed to get through, and I saw she was in a critical situation, so I prayed for her. I saw her faith and prayed for her. Next day, a surprising thing happened to her. All of her excruciating pain disappeared, and the final medical examination said that all the internal organs that had decayed fully recovered to normal. Doctors said that she would lose her sight because chemical liquid popped into her left eye. But after my prayer, her eye was also completely healed. If she had followed her fleshly thought, she would have doubted how someone who had swallowed the agricultural chemical could be healed in a church. But she did not follow her fleshly thought, but anticipated that she would be healed if she received the prayer. It was acceptable to God. When she came before God, God saw her faith and let her experience His powerful works. After that prayer, she was not just healed, but later conceived and gave birth to a baby after 21 years of marriage. Since she had not been pregnant at all for 21 years of her marriage life, how hard it must have been for her. There could have been some persecutions also. How wretched her life it was that she even committed a suicide. But God looked at her faith. She heard the preacher and came all the way from Gwangju to Ulsan. God deemed it as faith and healed her overnight by one prayer. She had high fever for whole night, but it was actually the healing process. The next day, and there was no more pain. She was healed completely. But what would her desire be? It was to have a baby. God blessed her with a child in 21 years of her marriage life, and now you can see the child has grown up so healthy and pretty. God usually gives this kind of bonus when we show our faith like this, beyond what can be given according to our faith. She had not been pregnant for 21 years of her marriage, so she must be quite old. So would she have faith that she would be pregnant by prayer? She did not even ask for it, but God blessed her with a baby as a bonus, so she can now lead a happy life. How good our Father God is! We can please God only with faith. If we do not follow fleshly thought but rely on God, God will surely work for us. The problem is that man does not rely on God alone, but on human wisdom and methods because he follows fleshly thought. Dear viewing audiences, every theory and knowledge that hinders us from believing the Word of God and obeying it is fleshly thought. People live in countless fleshly thoughts. That's why they are all hostile before God. For those of us who are hostile to God because of fleshly thought, Jesus wore the crown of thorns to redeem us from our sins and to save us. Then what can we do to receive this wonderful grace? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5 says, "We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought." It's not something is right and the other is wrong, but every thought to make it obedient to Christ. As this verse teaches us, we should demolish every kind of argument and take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Only then the enemy devil will obey you, as it says in the next part. We should get rid of every kind of fleshly thought that is against the knowledge of God, and we should throw away every kind of knowledge that is against the Word of God. Then your thought will change into the ones that are in the will of God. Above all, we should sanctify our hearts to remove the sins committed in our thoughts. In a more detailed explanation, it means we should get rid of the lust of flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of this life. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16 says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of this life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Namely, they are from the power of darkness, from the enemy devil." When we have evil in our hearts and our minds are filled with desires for the world, no matter how much we try to think in truths, we cannot help being reminded of fleshly thoughts. If we have the lust of flesh, the worldly pleasure looks fascinating and we are tempted to gain and enjoy that kind of pleasure. Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 to 21 warn us, "The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Some say, up to which sin can we commit to be saved?" Now all members of Manmin understand the truth clearly. Some Christians ask up to which sins they can commit so that they will still be in the boundary of salvation. The Bible, however, tells us to cast off all kinds of sins and all forms of evil. Is that really faith to ask, what kind of sins can I commit to be saved? Among the sins, God says the acts of the sinful nature or the works of the flesh are obvious. God clearly wrote in the Bible, there are sins that can be forgiven if you truly repent and turn away, and other sins that cannot be forgiven. So Galatians chapter 5, verses 9-21 warn us, the acts of the sinful nature are obvious, sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. If you do not inherit the kingdom of God, it means you will not be saved. The lust of flesh urges us to desire for the acts of the sinful nature. Next, the lust of the eyes makes our minds seek for fleshly things through what we see with our eyes and hear with our ears. Because of this lust of the eyes, people's desire for worldly and earthly things increases more and more. Finally, the pride of this life makes us boastful of ourselves, following all kinds of worldly pleasures. The pride of this life makes us desire to be greater than others and be praised and seek for power and honor of this world. If we remove the lust of flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of this life from our hearts, we will not follow the fleshly thoughts but spiritual thoughts in our thinking. Dear viewing audiences, we will wear better crowns in heaven because Jesus wore the crown of thorns for us. There are various crowns in heaven. As an illustration, in some contests in this world, there are participation prizes given to every runner, some other special prizes, or the gold medal, silver medal, and bronze medal only for winners. In the same way, our heavenly crowns will be different according to what kind of life we live on the earth. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25 says, everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. What is the crown that perishes? It means hell. A crown that lasts forever here is given to those who have accepted the Lord and try to cast away their sins listening to the truth. The crown of glory written in 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 4 is given to those who have cast away their sins and live by the word so that they glorify God. Next, the crown of life is recorded in James chapter 1 verse 12 and Revelation chapter 2 verse 10. It is given to those who have been faithful to the point of death, loving God to the utmost degree and have been sanctified by casting off every form of evil. To those who have been completely sanctified and fully faithful to their duties, with a faith to please God like the Apostle Paul, is the crown of righteousness given, as said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. Lastly, in Revelation chapter 4, verse 4, we can find 24 elders in heaven wear the crown of gold. It is the best of all the crowns. It does not mean that the one who receives this crown of gold cannot receive the crown of righteousness. The Apostle Paul received both the crown of righteousness and gold. Elders here do not indicate those who have the titles of elders on the earth. They refer to those whose faith is recognized by God. Then they are totally sanctified and faithful to all God's house and possess the faith of pure gold that will never corrupt. Likewise, different crowns are given according to how sanctified and faithful the children of God have been on the earth. In particular, the crowns of gold and righteousness are rewarded to those who are the most recognized by God. They will enjoy the glory that glitters and shines like the sun in heaven. When Jesus wore the crown of thorns, He not only redeemed us from the sins committed in our thoughts, but also let us wear better crowns in heaven. Therefore, I hope you realize this deep love of the Lord and cast away every kind of sin committed in your thoughts. I pray you demolish every kind of fleshly thought that makes you doubt the Word of God and hinders you from obeying it. I ask you to think only spiritual and good thoughts, fully obeying the Word of God and experiencing the works of God. Let me conclude the message. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, and viewing audiences, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8 says, Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Who is the one who longs for the Lord's appearing? They are those who have finished preparation as the bride. They have kept their whole spirit, soul, and body blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. These people will be delighted if the Lord comes sooner, because they have finished all the preparations and are waiting. That is why it says, not only to me, but to all who have longed for the Lord's appearing. Those who are longing for the Lord to come even today must have finished their preparation as the bride. As the Bible says, they must have kept their whole spirit, soul, and body blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. God will give the crown of righteousness to this kind of person. This verse means that the crown of righteousness will be given to all who have longed for His appearing. How much have you longed for the second coming of our Lord? You should finish preparing as the bride of the Lord as soon as possible for you to confess that you have truly longed for His second coming. When the bridegroom has arrived to receive his bride, if the bride is not ready to enter the wedding banquet because she has not finished preparation of the bride, her confession that she has longed for his arrival is not true. Only when you have completely accomplished the holy and purified heart and been faithful to all God's house like Moses and qualified to enter New Jerusalem, will you be able to declare from your heart, Lord, come soon. This kind of person can receive the crown of righteousness and enter the most glorious and beautiful dwelling place in heaven. I ask you to finish preparation as a bride of the Lord as soon as possible to receive the Lord our bridegroom. I pray in the name of the Lord that you will receive the most glorious crown and give thanks and glory to God forever when the Lord comes again to take you. I will pray for all those who are sick. Place your hand on sick parts and infirmities of your body and receive this prayer. If you are not ill, place your hand on your chest and receive this prayer for the desires of your heart. The work of the Almighty God transcends time and space. He will also work according to your faith. No matter where you are, when you receive this prayer in faith, you will surely experience the astonishing power of God. Hallelujah! The Almighty God of love, lay your hand on all your children, on all GCN viewers who receive this prayer on television. Lay your hand and manifest your work that transcends time and space on every viewer who receives this prayer in faith in every corner of the world. Give each of them the faith by which they can believe and drive out all the power of negative thoughts and doubts. Drive out all trials and sufferings. Scorch by the fire of the Holy Spirit and cleanse with the blood of our Lord from head to toe, the five viscera and the six entrails, each joint, and all nerves, tissues, and cells. Manifest the most high power of creation. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, bacteria, and weaknesses, go away. All contagious diseases, go away. All terminal diseases, endemic diseases, and newly discovered diseases, be scorched by the fire of the Holy Spirit, be cleansed, be strengthened. Let there be healing of gastric cancer, lung cancer, uterine cancer, intestinal cancer, and skin cancer, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, heart diseases, lung diseases, all kinds of women's diseases, hypertension, hypotension, diabetes, skin diseases, and inflammation. May polio, paralysis, arthritis, and herniated disc be healed and made perfect. May the pain from lumbago, headache, and neuralgia disappear. May all after effects from a variety of accidents be cleansed and made perfect. May cold, flu, fatigue from sickness, and thyroid diseases be scorched by the fire of the Holy Spirit and be cleansed. Epilepsy, autism, depression, nervous breakdown, and all kinds of mental diseases go away. May all darkness be driven away, and let there be joy and peace in their hearts. Father God, by the most high power of creation, may all that is weak be made perfect and whole again. May all that is paralyzed become loosened, and may the crippled walk and jump. May the dimmed eyesight be brightened. May those with troubled hearing hear well. May the blind receive sight. May the deaf come to hear. May the mute begin to speak. Father, bless those who are unable to conceive. Rejoin broken bones. And make perfect and whole all burned parts of the body. Cleanse by the fire of the Holy Spirit those who suffer from addiction of narcotics, drugs, toxicants, and poison. May the dead and dead nerves and cells revive. May all darkness be forced away, and may all evil spirits be driven out. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil and Satan, and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, go away. May all their messengers be also driven out. May all the power of darkness, evil and wicked spirits, dishonest and crafty spirits, estranging and deceiving spirits, be driven out. May all chains of injustice be loosened. Darkness go away. May the light come. Father God, strengthen their spirits as well as their flesh. Give them the strength to call out to you. Give them the strength to throw away their sins and become sanctified. As each of their soul gets along well, may all in life go well with them, answer the desires of their hearts, imploration and prayer. Add faith, hope, and love, and may their families also come to hear and believe in the good news. Protect them from accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead prosperous lives without hindrance. Protect all God's children at home, work, and business with the fiery wall of the Holy Spirit and the eyes of the Lord that are like blazing fire. Bless them whether they come in or go out, and bless them to lend to many people but borrow from no one. Give them wisdom and understanding, and allow them to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Give all ministers and workers of the Lord the ability to carry out the tasks you have given them. May there also be great revival at each church. Lead your children so that they may give glory to you, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do in life. Manifest your work so that their lips may testify, I have met Him, I have experienced God, I have received His answers, and I have received God's blessing. Father God, I thank You. May You alone receive all the glory. I pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.